There's a great essay by a guy named Ryan Gilbey, who is a British writer and critic. He wrote a book called It Don't Worry Me, and it's about sort of the class of the 70s that has been written about a lot. Robert Altman and Brian De Palma and Martin Scorsese, and they're written at length, you know. But he, if you haven't read the book, it's great. It's called It Don't Worry Me. I already said that, but I'm saying it again so you don't have to go back the way I have to when I watch The Phantom Menace to understand what the fuck was just said. And again, it's not because the dialogue is impenetrable. It's because it becomes white noise. Yep. I don't care. I can't become interested. Anyway, he takes each filmmaker and he writes about one or two or three movies that they've written. You have the book, but you haven't read it,
correct?
Right? Okay, that's what I thought. You got to read that book.
I will.
Man, is it good. And he writes about Lucas, and he doesn't really talk about Star Wars. He's more interested in American Graffiti and THX. And, man, it's a great essay. And what he talks about is, again, that Lucas, to some extent, never had it to the point, to the degree that people say he had it. Actually, he says, no, he did have it. He had it in THX, sort of, and he had it in American Graffiti, and then it died right before Star Wars.
Yeah. Interesting.
And
I think American Graffiti is a great, great movie.
Yeah. And it's, like, sort of loose and more improvisational and more imperfect than any of other of Lucas's movies. And by imperfect, it's like they talk about Charles Martin Smith. There's a scene where he has to catch like a bottle or something.
Okay.
And he says, Lucas made me do it a bunch of times because he wanted me to not catch it. He wanted me to fumble it.
Okay.
And so there's this, right. And so now this doesn't, it doesn't jive with what we know about George Lucas, because it doesn't, because here's a guy who had to go back, who will never stop going back and redoing his movies until they're perfect, quote unquote. He won't stop fucking with Star Wars because he wants it to be perfect the way he sees it in his head. Okay, so that's what he's doing there. But also, so it doesn't jive because, like, oh, well, perfect would be he just catches it, right? But we do it 20 times because he has to not catch it the way that I want him to. And he's this obsessive perfectionist. I think Ryan Gilbey says the perfection of imperfection. And he's a control freak. And when he makes the original, when he dreams up the original Star Wars trilogy, what he is obsessing over, or what he's going for, is the construction of this old-fashioned Flash Gordon space opera, Joseph Campbell myth, hero's journey, right? Those are all the things that he's just feeding in, and that's what he's trying to create, and that's great. And even though we've seen it before, it's this new take on it, and we're doing it in space, and that's what he's trying to make. This makes more sense in my head, so I apologize. So his obsession there is the Joseph Campbell myth. But then again, he lives in a Star Wars cage for 20 years, and now his obsession is the universe of Star Wars. He's no longer trying to tell this larger story about a good guy and a bad guy and the reluctant hero who becomes the hero. It's just what happens in my Star Wars universe.
That's a great point, yeah.
And so he loses us because he's totally cut off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
He's not trying to tell a story, really. I mean, yes, in theory, he's trying to tell this. The larger story is the rise and fall of Anakin Skywalker, you know?
Right.
But he never really does it because he's not interested in that. That's the story on paper, but the story that he wants to tell is this, it's just in the details. He's obsessed with only the details, and he's lost sight of the big picture. Because there is no big picture. It's nothing but details. Mm-hmm. Even the way that the films are made, where it's just crammed wall to wall with stuff. And we get to the pod race scene, and there's this long introduction, and the two-headed Greg Proops has to talk about who the other racers are in the race. Well, who the fuck cares? Right. I mean, we care about Anakin, and okay, maybe Sebulba, because it's been...
Yeah.
There's a bet, and he's the bad guy, and he's the one who's really great, and so we want Anakin to beat Sebulba. Why are we spending all this time learning about who the other racers are?
Well, I don't mean to derail you if I'm getting off your point, but I wouldn't be surprised if he thinks he needs to please the Star Wars fan base by you know, giving names to everybody.
No, and there's definitely a truth to that, because there's going to be toys.
Yep.
And there's all these... There's a lot of fanboy service in the movie, where it's like, in the pod racing scene, we can't just... Which, I guess we could talk about the pod racing scene, but where we get the sand people, and then we get a Jawa.
Yes, exactly.
For no other reason than so that fanboys can come in their pants when they're seeing, holy, there's a Jawa! It's just like in Star Wars. Well, yeah, it's just like, it fucking says Star Wars at the front of it, and then George Lucas, and then all the music is the same, and then that's Obi-Wan Kenobi. So why do we give a shit if there's a Jawa? Yeah.
It's as if you were sitting next to me in the theater.
Dude, did you see? There's a Jawa. They're going to show up again in Star Wars. Well, yeah. So...
See how we brought it all together?
Right, but that's what
I know,
it is, right?
I, exactly.
This bringing it together, but like, who gives a shit? So we're jumping all over the place.
Yeah,
but the pod race. And we were talking on the phone the other day, and you said...
I like the pod
race. I like the pod race.
I do.
And it's a fine piece of filmmaking.
I was going to say, like, for those, what was it, 10 minutes? I mean, it's long.
And that's the problem.
Right, okay. But, I guess I just...
It's well done, and it's entertaining, which...
It really is.
And that's the thing. That's the thing about The Phantom Menace. It has these things that we can like about it.
Yes.
Even though it doesn't add up to anything.
No,
because what the fuck is the point of the 10 to 12 minute pod race scene? Except to tell us that Anakin is a good pilot.
Well, Anakin, you know, there's something special with him. He's not just a good pilot. He's a little kid who's a great pilot, and it's not normal. There's something special about this kid, and here's an example of
right that. And then at the end of the movie we see that again.
Yes.
So I would argue, oh, that's when it matters.
Yeah, well, right.
Put it there when there's something on the line. When it matters, you know what I mean?
He wanted his Ben-Hur.
No, I know. You know, and he needs race. This, it's a video game.
Yeah.
I mean, in every way. Like, not only right. because it's all been rendered digitally, but also because there's all these point of view shots where it's like, oh, that's what the video game's going to look like.
Yeah.
I mean, exactly. And again, it's fun and entertaining in a way that a lot of the stuff that follows in the two subsequent prequels is not. But you take it out of the movie, and guess what? The movie is no different. And no worse off. You know, except
yeah.
that it's lost this little entertaining 10-minute piece. So rewatching the Phantom Menace, which is the movie we're talking about, right? Are we talking about the Phantom Menace? I like Darth Maul.
I was a little bummed he didn't last longer.
Well, and that was always the complaint. Again, in 1999, you go see the Phantom Menace, and you're like, Darth Maul is kick-ass. What? Okay, spoilers for the Phantom Menace. Darth Maul dies. He is bisected.
Which, unfortunately, I knew heading in.
Oh, really?
Because, like idiots, we got the comic book adaptation.
Really? Why would you do that?
The store got it.
Okay.
And I didn't read it, but one of my idiot friends did, and spoiled it for all of us.
Wow.
I don't even remember how. I don't think it was as mean as that. I feel like. He accidentally spoiled it for me. I don't know. But either way, unfortunately, I knew that he was going to pick.
And I have to assume that George Lucas sort of kicked himself.
I would think so. Because
everybody liked Darth Maul, and he's like, oh, shit, I killed him. And then part of me thinks, no, George Lucas didn't kick himself at all. Because in his head, he said, no, that's the way I planned it. That's the way I wanted it. That's exactly what I had, you know?
I guess.
Because he doesn't seem like a guy who, A, has anyone around him telling him, like, George...
Let's
pause for a second and let's think about this. He has no one around him telling him no. He lives in this bubble. We'll call it the Star Wars cage. And he doesn't seem like a guy who learns from mistakes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because otherwise, Attack of the Clones would have been much better than it was, and Revenge of the Sith, which maybe he learned a little bit. It seems like by then he brought on another writer. It's a little darker. It's PG-13.
Yeah.
Jar Jar has been cut way back, you know. Although I will say I do like the fact that, like, ultimately it's Jar Jar who's responsible for the entire Empire's existence, correct?
Yes.
Doesn't he, like, cast a deciding vote?
Yes, he does.
And I always kind of liked that, that, like, Lucas, A, it's kind of a fuck you from a guy who won't stop saying fuck you. But also that he doesn't just, you know, I complain about Lost all the time, Paolo and Nikki, that they're like, oh, no one likes him? Okay, we'll get rid of him. I'm like, right. No, fuck you. Figure out a way to course correct and, like, incorporate them in and make them matter. Right. Don't just make it like, oh, sorry, mistake. You guys don't like it. What else do you like? What do you need? What do you need? Do you want me to move the chair? Do you not like where the chair is? And Lucas, to some extent, is like, okay, people hate Jar Jar, but I'm still going to figure out a way to make him matter.
Right. No, I like that.
No idea what I was saying. Pod race? Were we talking about the fucking pod race? Darth Maul. Darth Maul. Is he kicking himself that he killed Darth Maul? That's what we're fucking talking about. Good Lord, I'm so sorry.
I mean, maybe you're right. There's part of me that finds it hard to believe he wouldn't be kicking himself, but...
Right.
Because, I mean, he really was...
One of the...
Quite cool. I mean, you still see... you know, you go to a Comic-Con, you'll still see people dressed up like Darth Maul. You still see...
And part of that is just because, like, the makeup is probably fun to do. I'm cool, you know.
But, you know, whatever.
And even watching The Phantom Menace again, he really has no idea what to do with Darth Maul.
No, he doesn't.
I mean, he just pops up in the desert at one point, and they fight. It's like, what?
Yep.
Oh, we needed a fight scene? We needed that beat? But we get to the end, and it's a kick-ass battle.
It's a great battle. I love that scene. I love when the three of them are separated
right
by the thing, because you get a glimpse into each one of their characters, maybe each one of their what am I trying to say? Like where they're at maturity wise.
Right.
I'm like, Obi-Wan can't wait to get at Darth, and I love Qui-Gon just meditates, and I thought that part was awesome.
And again, I feel like, and maybe I should have gone back and rewatched Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith before I laid it out on the line like this, because maybe those movies are better than I'm saying, or have moments like this that I'm not giving them credit for. But I don't know, feel like do. The Phantom Menace is the only movie that has stuff like this in it, even though it's a mess and there's no story and nothing happens that advances the overall story, except that by the end he's going to train Anakin. But I feel like it's the only one that has those scenes, and that's why I feel like I can go back and rewatch that more than I can rewatch the other ones, because it does have these good things in it.
Yes.
Because as I'm rewatching it, and it gets to the moment right before the battle, they show up, and there's Darth Maul. It's everybody together, right? Mm-hmm. It's the Amidala is there, and whatever. Which, I guess we can get to that in a second. And there's Darth Maul, and they stop and they say, we'll handle this. And they take off their robes, and it's fucking awesome.
Yes.
And it's the first and last fucking awesome moment in the entire prequel trilogy, I think. Although that opening shot in Revenge of the Sith
is awesome. Yeah,
is cool.
I think
yeah.
that's very cool.
Yeah. Now, when I saw it in the theater, it was definitely awesome. It was like, holy shit, where it pans up. It's just space. Boom, crazy battle.
Yep.
Awesome. Now feels a little bit masturbatory.
Okay.
Because I have gotten through the first half hour, and then I got to turn it off. I'm like, why am I watching this? But The Phantom Menace, I think that moment is awesome.
Yes.
And almost justifies the movie. I mean, not quite, because there's so much shit around it, but like, that's great.
It is great.
That's great.
And I had wanted to see Jedi really, you know, beat ass. And,
right.
And, you know, that was the first great lightsaber battle, because I love the lightsaber battle at the end of Empire, but it's a very different lightsaber battle, a little more with the times, a lot more, a lot more action.
And it
was awesome.
I think that fight better than even the one between Obi-Wan and Anakin.
Oh, I do, yeah.
But that's what all three movies are building towards. He needed to stick that landing. I'm not saying he didn't. It wasn't horrible, but like that one is way better to me, I think.
No, I completely agree.
And Darth Maul really is the last interesting villain in the prequel trilogy. I mean, I like the Emperor. He's fine, you know, whatever. But, like, they try and introduce Count Dooku.
I was going to say Dooku.
No, sorry. I like Christopher Lee. I was going to say. Fuck that. And who's that other dude? The robot dude with all the arms?
Grievous.
Nope, fuck you. All he's doing is selling toys. Like, Grievous is a toy. That's it. He's not a character. He's not a villain. He's a fucking action figure.
Absolutely.
And that's it.
Yep.
Fuck that.
Agreed.
So the problem, I say as though there's only one. Jake Lloyd, who goes to Columbia College here in Chicago, yes, where you went.
I did.
He attends your alma mater.
Go Bees.
I
think they're the Killer Bees.
Really?
There's a mascot? Briefly had a baseball team.
Oh, no kidding.
Called the Killer Bees. So.
And apparently Jake Lloyd takes all kinds of shit and, like, has a real complex about it. I know from people who go to Columbia who said Jake Lloyd is, like, an asshole to them because he's, I think, always on the defensive because people are giving him shit about the Phantom Menace. And guess what?
It's unfair.
He's not the problem. Right. He's not the problem. The way the character's written is bad. The fact that he decided to make it a kid in the first place is bad. But, you know, you're the one, I think, that has said, like, what kid would have turned down?
Yeah.
Right? Wasn't that you that said that? Like, anybody who makes fun of Jake Lloyd, if George Lucas approached you in 1998 and said, hey, do you want to play Anakin Skywalker? Would you be like, I don't trust your vision, George.
George Lucas asked me now.
What's this thing? Yeah, right. Would you go back? You want to do a shot-by-shot remake of The Phantom Menace? Sure. Are you an angel? Now this is pod racing!
Oh, I've been waiting an hour and 16 minutes for that impression.
That's my Anakin Skywalker voice that I've done for years. And it sounds nothing like Jake Lloyd, but anytime you talk about an Anakin, until you get, obviously, to the next movie, and then it's like, I don't like sand. That's my Hayden Christensen Anakin impression.
Which my wife does a great impression of.
Does she?
She has that scene down.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Like she knows she's got the sand.
Yeah.
Oh, it's rough and coarse. Not like you. And then what's the what's the next line? Because I always want to say, you're pretty.
I don't.
But I don't think that's it.
I think it's, remember.
Are you an angel? I'm going to be in the Boota race tomorrow. Oh, I need. Little Greedo? Do you know what I'm talking about? Oh, that scene. I watched three times in a row. I went back and rewatched that scene because I'm like, what the fuck is going on? It's all these kids. And then the last one is like overdubbed. Like, let's go play ball. First of all, George Lucas, have you been around a child? What kid's like, let's go play ball? I swear he's watching Little Rascal shorts. Because the kid is overdubbed the way that like Froggy used to be like, let's go play ball. It's Froggy in that scene. It's Tiny Greedo and then Froggy. And then Anakin.
I'm going to be in the Boota race. Natalie Portman doesn't help him out at all.
Well, all right. So hold on. we'll get to that. But okay, so the issue really with Jake Lloyd, not Jake Lloyd, but Anakin, is A, he decided to start when he was a kid, and B, there is no indication of any darkness. And if you're going to go that far back, okay, there's a way to make it work, but like, there has to be a hint of something, yes, right?
Right.
Right?
Right. I agree.
He can't just be like every other kid, and that's unfortunately what he is. I mean, they tell us, oh, he's got these great abilities, and he's got a really high midi-chlorian count, and
higher than even Master Yoda's, I believe.
And every mention of Master Yoda, just like, oh, we get it. I like that Yoda's a puppet in Phantom Menace, though.
I do too. Yes, completely.
Not a fucking CGI thing. Yep. Oh, I was going to say this a while ago. There's a whole, the first 40 minutes of the movie, 45 minutes, like Qui-Gon, I'm sorry to say it, and Obi-Wan, they start, they're together, and they're ambassadors, and they're negotiating. We don't give a shit. And then they split up for like 45 minutes the whole time that they're down in the pod racing and all that, right?
Yeah.
And Obi-Wan, like, you stay with the ship or something. Yep. I don't know. Why do you think that is? Because I have a theory.
Oh, I'd like to hear your theory.
Why they split up.
Yeah, why?
Just so we can get to the moment when they get back on the ship, Obi-Wan Kenobi meet Anakin Skywalker. That is a line of dialogue and a shot. And yes. I'm like, oh, that's why they've been split up for 45 minutes.
That makes sense.
And they put it in the trailer and everyone fucking jerks off. That's when they meet.
Yeah.
Well, so what if it doesn't fucking lead to anything?
Yes.
And I saw that moment, and I was like, oh, that's why. Because why else haven't we seen Obi-Wan for 45 minutes? And it occurred to me that, like, oh, Lucas worked backwards. I need a moment where they meet. Well, what should I do? I'll split him up for 45 minutes. Why do I? He stays with the ship. And then I realized, oh, this entire fucking series of movies is nothing but working backwards. And that's why they don't work.
Because that is a great, you've solved it.
Well, there we go. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Take that. I just blew your minds.
Oh, that's a great point. You're absolutely right. Oh, it's got to be.
Fuck. Everything is just working backwards. And that's why they don't work. And that's why it's not interesting. Because guess what? We as a viewer are doing the same thing. We're working backwards. We're not in any uncharted territory at any point. And that's what's exciting about Star Wars. We start with this kid, and he's a dreamer, and we want to see this crazy trip that he goes on that takes us in places we had no idea we were going to go. The Luke that starts at the beginning of Star Wars and the Luke that is at the end of Return of the Jedi has gone somewhere, and we were there with him, and we never knew where we were going to go. And that's exciting, and it's interesting.
Yes.
And there is none of that in the prequel trilogy, because there can't be. It's built in that we know where it's going.
Yep.
And that's why it can't. And again, I get back to, we think we want to know.
No, it's true.
But we don't.
It's true. Because, yeah, when we get there, we're not excited to be there. Like,
because the only place it can get to is where we knew it was going.
Exactly.
That's where it has to land.
Right.
I'm not excited. If I take a fucking flight to Florida, you know, when the plane lands, I'm not fucking coming in my pants. I'm, look where we are. It's a, no, this is where I paid to go. That's where I knew I was going, motherfucker.
That's true.
Do you want to talk about Amidala? Queen Amidala? Natalie Portman?
She's just, is the way you put it earlier, she's sleepwalking through the movies? Because, she, it really struck me rewatching it. Like, oh my God, she is just, she, it just seems like she doesn't want to be there.
What is the deal with her accent? What's going on?
It's like in and out.
And right? I know, like, there's that thing in Star Wars. Okay, Princess Leia, she's kind of British at the beginning, and by the end, they seem to have dropped that.
Yeah.
Okay, and we can all laugh about it. Oh, and the stormtrooper bumps his head, and that's just one of those things we goof on about Star Wars, right? But what the fuck is going on with her in that movie?
I don't know. It looks to me like everyone is completely uncomfortable acting in front of green screen.
Yeah. Well, and again, she seems to exist just to, like, because George Lucas had a friend who did some sketches, and, like, look at the weird kabuki shit I can put her in. Look at all the crazy costumes I've designed for Amidala. I like all of those. Right. Let's put her in all of them. And it doesn't matter for the character. I was watching it again, and I'm like, there's this whole thing where, like, there's Amidala and Padme, and there's a decoy. And we don't know for most of the movie that, oh, Padme is actually the queen. Oh, look at that. But, like, guess what? We do know that. We've seen all the movie's marketing. We know that Natalie Portman has been cast as Queen Amidala because it's Star Wars and you can't hide that shit.
Right.
So, again, we're sitting waiting for the reveal of a secret that's not a fucking secret.
And that we don't care about either.
Well, right.
That too.
Right. The reveal isn't interesting anyway. Yeah. But, like, even if he pulled it off, right, and it's like, oh, she's the queen all along? We don't care. But at no point does he come close to pulling that off.
I know.
So again, it's this thing where it's like, there's zero dramatic tension because we know the result. We know that she's the queen. We're just waiting for him to tell us.
Right.
And that's what these prequels are. We know that he becomes Darth Vader. We're just waiting for Lucas to tell us. Right?
Right, exactly.
And the problem is, he does a bad job at telling us. Mm-hmm. If he did a better job of telling us, maybe we could forgive some of that. But, like, it was never going to work, guys. It was never... You thought it was going to work. You fucking begged for it for 16 years. Show us the Clone Wars. Guess what? The Clone Wars suck. They're not interesting. At all.
Nope. Well, he didn't even show us the Clone Wars.
Well, right. But he showed us clones.
Oh,
and
yes,
so we're supposed
exactly.
to be fucking excited about that. And there was some clone fighting in an arena. That was exciting.
Which, if you would have told me before Attack of the Clones, maybe before Phantom Menace, I'd get a scene with a bunch of Jedi fighting clones. Oh my God, have I ever been excited. In an arena. Sounds amazing. But
you think you want to see it.
Right, exactly. You're absolutely
but
right.
You don't.
It's horrible. What do you even think about just like on a design level?
Yeah, I don't like it.
Okay.
There's nothing. And again, this goes back to even the special editions when he released those in like 97 and I went to see those for, it was the first time I'd seen Star Wars in a long time.
Okay.
And I've said this to you before plenty of times, so I apologize, but like I was struck by how little happens for a long time in that movie.
Oh yeah.
And I started to think like, oh, maybe it's not as great as everyone says. Cause like it's a half hour of two robots dicking around a desert. But again, I love the designs in Star Wars, and it's iconic, and you can't even imagine like a world without it. But like, it's so cool, and it's sort of simple, you know. It's like these basic ideas that he ripped off from other places, fucking Metropolis or whatever, you know. It's like, oh, there's C-3PO. Seeing the special editions, it's like, oh, I'm watching. I used to like just this open desert landscape, and it was simple, and it was clean, and it was nice to look at. And then he has to do the special edition where he fills it in with all this fucking nonsense, just little CGI animals in every corner of the frame. That doesn't make it better. But again, he spent 20 years in the Star Wars cage with a sketchbook. Like, ooh, and I can do this, and I can put this here, and I can put this here, and I have to fill in my universe because that's where I live now in my crazy mind.
Attack of the Clones that way, and I don't know that it's more so in Attack of the Clones than any of the other movies, but that's the movie that sticks out for me. That it's just, it feel like, I don't know where to look.
It's too busy.
It's so busy. Yeah. Every corner of that, or every inch of that frame is just, it's something moving and flashing. And it's like he doesn't know where, I don't know where I'm supposed to look. And it's so distracting and ugly.
And he came up with all of these different alien races for Phantom Menace. And we get to see them all. We see Gungans and Huts, or I mean, we already saw Jabba the Hutt, but isn't Sebulba like some race of Hutt? I don't know. Subtitles on the DVD, he says he's speaking Huttese or Huttese or however you want to say the language of the Hutts. And I don't like really the design of any of them. I don't like the way that Jar Jar looks, or Sebulba looks, or the dude at the pod race, or the Viceroy, or, you know?
Right.
I don't like the look of any of them. I like, when I saw that trailer originally, and they showed that shot of Queen Amidala.
In front of the window?
And she's all kabukied out?
Yes, absolutely.
And you look like she can't move her head, because, like, that thing weighs 100 pounds.
Yeah.
But it was neat. And it had promise, and it's promise that isn't delivered on, and they're, you know, she's a non-existent character. And
they should have probably just stopped at the trailer. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was neat that the guys designing the vehicles for the prequels wanted them to look like, wanted the vehicles in episodes 4, 5, and 6 to be more advanced models of what. Of what they would show in episodes 1, 2, 3, you know what I mean? Like, one through three would be older models, and but I don't even know where I was going with that. But it's just, none of it's memorable, and I don't know if is it just because, I grew up with Star Wars, so I loved everything about it. I mean, if the X-Wing premiered in episode 1, would I feel differently about it? Because I feel like the X-Wing and the Millennium Falcon and Death Star, like, that's, it's just great design, and
It's called the Death Star. There's such simplicity,
I guess,
to that, and it conjures up such imagery, and it's like, that's great, of course. It's a Death Star, and it's great. And there's nothing in any of the prequels that comes close to that, because, again, he isn't satisfied with that kind of...
I just mean, but visually.
No, I know, like, I know. Okay. No,
I don't remember anything.
No. Because it's just busy, and again, part of the problem too is that it's all just CGI white noise. Yeah, it's all just a cartoon, you know.
Right.
And that's not that interesting to look at.
It's true.
There's so many just tangents and diversions in the movie that don't add up to anything. You know, there's that scene where they go underwater. You know, right when Ewan McGregor's wig makes its first appearance.
It's like red wig.
And they're chased by a giant fish, and then another fish gets that
There's always a bigger fish.
There's always a bigger fish, as said by what sounds like maybe Ringo Starr? I'm not sure what voice that
Peace
was.
Peace and love. There's always a bigger fish. Peace and love.
Rewatching it, I thought, well, why not make that pay off? Why not have that mean something? And if I'm being an apologist, I could say, like, that's Darth Maul. And then there's a bigger fish behind Darth Maul. But the movie, that's not there. That's me assigning something that isn't there.
Right.
Because even if I wanted to say that's there, the movie very explicitly says, was that the fucking student or the master or the apprentice or, you know?
Yes.
You can't say student. Apprentice is so much more difficult to say and so much less poetic. And so why not have them say, was that the apprentice or the master? Oh, the poetry of lines like that. Oh, fuck. So going back and watching The Phantom Menace, was it worse than you remember?
It was worse than I remembered.
Yeah.
And I felt bad about that.
Are you less inclined to watch it again now?
Probably.
Yeah.
I was much more bothered by the performances than I can ever remember.
No, they were always all bad.
Oh,
except for Liam Neeson.
I'm sure. Right. Right. But
even Samuel Jackson is terrible in all of them.
Yeah.
He's just blank and wooden.
Most of them are blank and wooden. His name is
Mace Windu.
Yeah.
And he never says the line that I always want him to say.
Which is?
I don't remember if it's Phantom Menace or Attack of the Clones. He's talking to Yoda, and Yoda says something, and he says, "I agree." Right? Is that Phantom Menace?
Yeah, I think that's Phantom Menace.
And I always just, to really underline the absurdity of what the fuck I'm watching, I always want him to say Yoda. "I agree, Yoda." I don't know why, but you'll hear me say it someday in the podcast. I agree, Yoda. It's not a line that exists, but it's in my head. I so want him to say Yoda. I think because I want everyone to say Yoda at the end of everything they say when they're talking to Yoda. You know what I mean?
That would somehow make things better.
Right?
Yeah.
Phantom Menace.
I will train him, Yoda.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. See? Are we supposed... What the fuck are we supposed to feel? I know I should be wrapping up, but at the end of the movie when... Amidala and Anakin share like a look, you know, right before it ends with like that dude who's like, "Victory!" Like, we're supposed to be happy the movie ends on him holding up a lightning ball. What? I don't know what he's holding. What is that? And victory from who? What do we win here? Anyway,
it's not quite the medal ceremony.
No, exactly. And he's trying to recreate that, but it's just this weird approximation from, with people that we don't care about or know, celebrating something we don't understand.
Right.
It's not the medal ceremony, but he's trying to conjure that
up.
He is. But right before that, Amidala and Anakin share this little look. And he's a fucking kid.
Yeah, no,
I know. Are we supposed to be, oh, they're gonna fuck. They're gonna make Luke and Leia when he puts his little boy penis in her vagina.
Her angelic vagina.
I don't understand why he even hints at that. You know what I mean?
Know.
Like, it's uncomfortable.
It is uncomfortable.
It's an uncomfortable moment in a movie that otherwise isn't really that uncomfortable. There's no icky sex stuff, except for there, where we're like, oh, you're a little boy, and now we're reminded that you're going to fuck her and make your son who kills you. All right. That's going to happen. I can't wait to see how this plays out. Like, what? What, Phantom Menace?
Oh.
Do you go back and watch the prequels ever?
No.
Never.
Spike TV plays them all the time.
Yeah.
And if my wife slipped through the channels and they're on, she'll put it on.
Okay.
So if I watch it at all anymore, that's when. It's because my wife puts it on when it's on Spike. But okay. I will not take the DVD out and put it in.
I've tried once or twice with Revenge of the Sith. And I probably have once or twice with Phantom Menace. And the day...
I have with Phantom Menace,
The day I saw Revenge of the Sith, I watched Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones.
Okay.
So that it went 1, 2, 3. And I think that's why I came out of Revenge of the Sith. Like, I don't know, maybe the prequels... Like, maybe it works. It doesn't, guys. Don't be fooled.
But I will watch, you know, 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
I'll definitely watch Empire. But if I could watch one of the movies, that's...
You would just pull Empire? That's fascinating to me. I couldn't. I would have to go back and watch Star Wars.
Oh, no.
Before I would watch Empire.
No, I'd watch. I could just pull Empire.
Well, and maybe it's because, like, you're well-versed enough that you can just fill in all the other shit.
Oh, I can't, yeah.
I don't know that I could. I mean, I could in theory.
Could.
I'm sure I could sit down and watch Empire and it would be fine.
You
but,
absolutely
like,
could.
My OCD tells me, no, I would have to watch Star Wars first.
Oh, no.
And then Empire. And then I would have to watch Jedi. I couldn't move on unless I watched Jedi.
Maybe I've seen them enough.
Yeah.
I've seen them all three so many times that it's okay.
But yeah, it's weird. Like, I couldn't watch just the Two Towers. I would have to watch Fellowship of the Ring first.
Okay, this is going to make no sense, but I completely agree with you there.
Okay.
Like,
I could easily watch Rush Hour 2 without having watched Rush Hour. Go figure.
That is weird.
I would have no problem doing that. But I wouldn't be able to move on like until I watched Jedi, and then I would feel like the circle has closed, and now I can go watch Rush Hour 2. But like I couldn't watch Empire and then watch Rush Hour 2.
Yeah, I definitely could.
Wow, do you think I have problems?
Mm-hmm. But I do as well, because I'm with you, at least as far as Lord of the Rings goes.
Yeah,
I mean, that's true. I'm not just going to put out
two. And those cards. Are more of like a...
But know, that is one big
Yeah, that's story. More of like a continuous story, more right. so.
Although Lucas would tell you...
Oh, yeah.
So the Star Wars movies, it's all Anakin's story. Six movies telling Anakin's story.
But which no, is it the isn't. Thing.
Right, right.
But that's why I feel like he doesn't understand his own creation.
Correct.
And obviously he does. It's his fucking creation, right? Who am I to say? But, like, don't tell me that Star Wars and Empire and Jedi are Anakin's story, because they're not.
Right, exactly.
And I don't even feel like Phantom Menace is Anakin's story. That's part of the problem, too, is that there's no real... Whose story is that movie? Obviously, Star Wars is Luke Skywalker's story.
Mm-hmm.
So is Empire, so is Jedi. You know, obviously, that series is Luke Skywalker's story, not Anakin's, as Lucas would have you believe. But whose story is the Phantom Menace? If it's anyone's, it's like Qui-Gon's.
That would be my pick.
And there's like a tragedy to the mistake that he makes. Right?
Yeah.
That we don't... That really isn't given any weight. I mean, it should be sort of tragic that he decides right before he dies that, like, I'm going to train this person who's going to become Darth Vader.
Yeah.
And I know that that's sort of what Lucas is going for, but it does not come across. Again, because Anakin is just fucking Kevin McAllister. Like, yippee, I'm home alone! I just wish that he would have gone with a kid who was maybe, like, a little more somber. And he could still be a kid and still love his mom, so you still feel sad about it. But, like... He doesn't have to be like, yippee, I'm Anakin, woo!
I agree.
Don't step on these micro machines.
So, but the prequels didn't ruin the original trilogy for you at all. Because a lot of people claim that they, for them...
Those people are fucking stupid.
Okay, I'm with you. Because it doesn't...
That's so childish.
If anything, I feel almost better about the original trilogy. Like, if I watch Phantom Menace and then I put on, you know, like watching... I too, when I walked out of episode 3, I thought, wow, that was actually pretty good. And I've been very...
It's totally not, by the way.
Correct. And then Christy and I went home and watched, again, Empire. And I don't know if it was on Spike or what, but Empire was on. And just, I watched fucking 10 minutes of Empire. I was like, oh, no. I was totally wrong about what I just saw. I'm just watching, there's no... Like, the interaction between Han Solo and Princess Leia, there is none of that in the prequels. None of it.
No. There's not a line of dialogue that comes anywhere near I love you, I know.
Oh, no. Not remotely near.
Nowhere near. Nowhere in the same class.
If I remember any lines of dialogue from the prequels, it's for all the wrong reasons.
Right. It's I don't like sand. It's rough. Exactly. Are you an
angel? There's a storm coming in. I don't know why that one always stuck out for me. But
is that his mom?
No, that's some crazy old lady who...
Oh, yeah. Right. What? That's what I'm talking about. Weird tangents and diversions. Why the fuck does that... We should have wrapped up 20 minutes ago. I recognize that, but like, I'm going to split this shit up, so it's fine.
It's fine. Episodes 1 and 2.
Exactly. Why does Anakin's mom, why is he Immaculate Conception?
Oh,
what does that add to the story?
I don't know. Oh, I'm surprised that hasn't gotten brought up yet.
What does that add to the story? And why are they so fucking casual about it? Who's his father? He doesn't have a father. I just got pregnant. I raised him. I don't know what happened. She says, I don't know what happened. Or I can't explain it, maybe. I can't explain it. And he just, like, nods, like, oh. And then there's a fucking wipe, and we're on to the next scene. Like, is he a Christ figure? Is that what we're supposed to take from that?
I would assume. I mean, why else have him?
But then why the never conception? Go back to that?
I don't know.
Ever.
I don't know.
When they come out on Blu-ray, and you sit down to watch them.
Yes.
What do you start with? Because now you own all six in the same format, in the same box, even. You know? Do you start with Star Wars?
I do. I think do. Yeah. Because I want to
I'm totally starting with Phantom Menace.
I don't know that I won't start with Phantom Menace, but I think I will be... I want to see what... I don't give a shit what Phantom Menace, Attack of the Clones, and Revenge look like necessarily on Blu-ray. But right. I give a shit. I want to see what the original trilogy looks like. So, so if I started... with the original trilogy, that's why. Because I'm excited to see them in that format.
By the way, everybody who complains about, like, Lucas is a fucking asshole and stuff, because he's not releasing the original, you know, not the special editions.
Yes.
That's all he's putting out. Like, A, accept it. That's what it is now, so whatever. But, like, at least he's releasing the two separately.
Yeah, no.
At least you can buy just Star Wars and Empire and Jedi separately. You don't have to buy the prequels, you know?
I give you that, yep.
You do if you want, like, certain special features, I think.
Yes, yeah, if you want, yeah, like all the...
But see, to me, but I'm crazy. I'm like, I don't see how you could buy just Star Wars and Empire and Jedi. How could you not own the prequels? Even if you're never going to watch them, how do you sleep at night not knowing that they're there on your shelf? That the spines go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. How do you sleep at night?
I'm sick like you as well with that. Because I'm the same way. I would have to buy them all.
Right. I bought all the prequels when they came out on DVD. Same knowing here. That I didn't really like them, but same I had here. To have them. And same I've here. Watched them. So, except for fucking Revenge of the Sith, which I cannot get through. I'm going to try.
If you can get through Attack of the Clones, I think you can get through
Revenge of the Sith. I tried to go see Attack of the Clones when it came out in IMAX.
Okay.
It came out in theaters. I didn't like it. I think I went home and watched Jedi on Laserdisc because that was all I had at the time. And just to get the taste out of my mouth. And then they released Attack of the Clones in IMAX. And this was back before, like, IMAX was everywhere and every movie was in IMAX. This was a big deal. And I drove out to, like, Lincolnshire, which isn't really close,
right,
to see it. And I left after about 45 minutes.
Oh, wow.
I was like, well, it's the same shitty movie, just much bigger. And I left. And I never leave.
Yeah.
But I walked out.
Question.
Yes.
You went home after seeing Attack of the Clones for the first time, but on Return of the Jedi.
I know it negates what I just said. Okay.
I don't necessarily want to call you out, but I feel
no,
like
no, no, it's
my
totally
fans
fine.
Would be upset if I didn't.
I forgot you're a fan.
I do.
I only had Star Wars and Jedi on Laserdisc. I didn't have Empire.
You really don't have to explain it to me. I just wanted to.
But I am. Okay. B, I've gotten much worse over the years.
Okay.
Every year that goes by, I get crazier and crazier to the point where I'm going to be George Lucas.
You'll be in your Star Wars
just game. In my closet, creating a little world for myself in a notebook. But no one will pay me billions of dollars to make it.
We need an Avatar 2. Call Patrick.
Do you think that they'll ask me? I have some thoughts. I have some thoughts. And that's the thing. Like, there's Avatar 2. Like, if James Cameron came out and said, like, yeah, for Avatar 2, it's going to be a prequel. It's going to be, here's everything on Pandora before. Fuck that. I don't want to see that. If you're going to make a sequel, make a sequel. I want to know what happens next, not what happens first.
I agree.
Who gives a shit what happens? Fuck that. If I read you a chapter from a book, do you want to know? Are you like, do I want to know what happens next?
No.
Or do I want to know what happened before that? You don't. Trust me.
You're right. I mean, yes. I mean, now as I sit here, I agree. But again, at the time,
everyone thought that.
Okay.
Everyone thought that. And I guess this is now the example that we can point to when people say, like, when, like, nerds say, I mean, the Alien prequel, thank fucking God, that just came out this week.
Yes.
Like, oh, it's not going to be a prequel.
Yep.
But, like, who gives a shit? We don't need a prequel. The other one is Terminator that everybody always points to. I want to see the fucking, not the Rise of the Machines. I want to see the actual Rise of the Machines. You know, I want to see the Robot Wars. No, you don't.
Right. Yeah.
No, you don't. Because you did, and it was bad. And you don't want to see that.
Yep.
And that's what the Star Wars prequels taught us.
I agree.
I guess that's it, huh?
Yes.
It was a fucking marathon.
It was.
Thank you for going through that with me.
Oh, thank you.
I feel like I just ranted for like 2 hours. I apologize.
I enjoyed it.
Because
sure
guess
the
what?
Listeners enjoyed it.
I don't even hate Phantom Menace. After all that fucking rant, I'm just like, I'll watch Phantom Menace again. It has some good stuff. When they take off their robes and say, we got this, they don't say we got this, right? They should have. They say, like, let us handle this,
yeah,
or
like,
we'll handle this. They should have just been, like,
let's do this.
Yeah, right? They should have just been, let's do this, and then fucking high-fived, and then just taking out guns, and shot, like, fucking some Bad Boys 2 shit.
Right.
Obi-Wan should have turned to Qui-Gon and been like, shit just got real.
That's the name of this podcast.
Phantom Menace. Shit just got real. All right. Bye, everybody.
Thank you.